ESPN 97.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Little tapper. Harris will spin and throw, and that'll do it. The Astros couldn't score in the 10th and the 11th, and then they only score one in the 12th after the A's scored two in the top half. Frustrating loss tonight to start this series against the Oakland A's.
I shouldn't have to hire a babysitter for Astros A's duty. I should be able to do what all good parents do and leave the Houston Astros in the car with the keys in the ignition. Important clarification. I should not have to watch another Astros-Oakland A's game for the rest of my life. And yet, on a day where our country had an important thing happening, I got to tune back in to that game to see that pants poopage at the end where the Astros couldn't figure out how to defend against the bunt. Good morning. It is Gallant and George on Wednesday, September 11th. 2024. Joe, I don't know if you've ever done that, if you've ever been able to leave Joe Jr. without a babysitter.
Not in the car.
Definitely not in the car.
Not in the car, Paul.
But, come on. I know it's just one loss, but come on. What are we doing?
That was one of those, it's annoying. Like, feels like the 50th time since they've taken the lead in the division. Thankfully, the Mariners lost.
Mm-hmm.
Just shout out to them for losing while you can't defend a bunt. I've never seen anything like that. I love baseball. I've been watching baseball for so long. I've never seen.
Did the same thing over and over again.
Yes. Like, I could not believe when they bunted for, the third time.
Yeah.
I was like, they're not doing this again, right?
The way Todd Callis was talking about it on the broadcast was if the A's had come up with some genius strategy. The first and third bunt. You know, it's a different kind of offense. It's like the spread in the NFL. It's the 2-3 in basketball.
I mean, maybe the Astros should try it.
The first and third bunt?
Just bunt. Like, it doesn't matter. Yordan Alvarez, bunt it. Kyle Tucker, definitely bunt it.
I would have been okay with a Kyle Tucker suicide squeeze last night.
Yes!
With one out.
The Neris play.
Yeah.
Not to pick on Fromber. It wasn't Fromber level bad because he didn't airmail it, but to just lose the baseball
At least he didn't throw it out of the stadium.
Yes, but also hold on to the ball, dude.
Yeah, it was a rough moment. So they lose 4-3 in 12 innings. I had to check the record against the A's because it feels like they're way worse against the A's than they actually are. They're actually 7-4 against the A's on the year. So I breathed a heavy sigh of relief when I saw that at the very least they're taking care of business against teams like the A's, but a game like last night is one of those ones where you are wondering if you have a chance to actually get one of the buys in the American League. And come on, the A's are a cupcake on a cupcake buffet where you also play the Angels a bunch in the not too distant future. Mm-hmm. And you just drop the cupcake on the floor. And the frosting's gotten in the dirt.
Yeah.
The cat's licking it a little bit.
Are they going to eat it?
I don't know.
That's the real question. You dropped
the cup. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. No one leaves my rallies, but I wanted to leave watching the Astros A's game, and unfortunately, I couldn't.
I did too. Well, 13 innings or whatever it was. I don't need to go that long into a baseball game anymore. 10, 11, 12. Just ties. Just give me the tie. The last time the Astros lost in extra innings, we talked about this. Maybe it's anti-American, on a day after a presidential debate. Maybe it's a bad thing to say, but give me ties.
I would have taken a tie last night.
I hate the man-for-man rule.
A tie is better than a loss, and anything is better than watching a game against the Sacramento A's. Junior Broncos points out on the Twitch, the A's are one of the best records since the All-Star break. I don't care. I do not care. Screw them. They are a disgrace to this sport. I shouldn't have to watch a second of them. I should be able to leave the Astros in the car with the keys in the ignition.
Yes.
Crack a window or something. Yeah.
Honestly.
I think that makes it okay,
it's
right?
It's the age.
Right,
it'll be fine.
Not in Houston.
Like, I don't know, a couple inches?
It's the A's. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. I'm just going into Walmart to get three or four different things.
The A's, you know, they're not even the last place team in this division. So
it's true.
This isn't last year's A's.
That's actually surprising.
Yeah, Angels.
They are having a much better season than it appears because they are having a great second half.
I mean, they're 63-82. So.
Well, like they're a good second half team. They're a young team.
I mean, August just wrapped up. I used to call them the Augusters. But it's not August anymore. There's no excuses here. Take care of business.
Oakland has 63 wins. The Chicago White Sox have 33.
The White Sox are so bad.
They have
twice the wins of the White Sox.
Yeah.
They have 30 more wins.
Raise a banner in the stadium right before they demolish it. So we do this after the Astros lose. Who's the fall guy for last night? Hit it.
In a season where anything and everything has gone wrong for
until
the
recently.
Astros.
Until recently.
There's always one person to blame.
And that has been the case for Henley early on. There is no place to go. There is no place to hide.
Every hero has their own origin story. Every girl that goes on a date with Paul has some level of regret. And every Astros game has a fall guy.
Y'all want to keep rolling like this? Then I need to know who's going to be the fall guy.
I'm a loser, baby.
I saw some people going after Espada last night. Is that fair?
Yes.
Why?
I know we were very like staunch advocates of like it's okay for Kyle Tucker to have a rehab start, have his rehab starts in the majors, but maybe not having him bat where he is right now, in when he hasn't had a hit since he came back.
0-for-5 last night.
Yeah. It's not all on Espada, but he factors in for sure.
I look at the lineup as a whole, and I see after your top two guys in the lineup, Kyle Tucker going 0-for-5, Alex Bregman going hitless. It's the lineup to me. I mean, Tucker and Bregman have combined 0-for-11 in the 3-and-4 hole. Against a team like the A's. I don't care if they're playing better. They're still the A's. Jeremy Pena as well, 0-for-5.
Now, he got robbed by Daz Cameron.
Fair enough. I was paying more attention to the debate. So
I know. It was a great catch in right field by Daz Cameron. So like they could have won the game. But yeah, the lineup does deserve the most blame for this. Because even if Joe Espada is not setting the perfect lineup, you went through the man-for-man rule a couple times. Brian Abreu was electric. The first inning, Mason Miller in the 10th is their electric closer, 4 pitches. Took him 4 pitches to get out of the inning. That's it? Like you have a runner on second base and you don't score? Brian Abreu strikes out 5 guys in 2 innings.
You look good.
Like he was awesome.
So not Brian Abreu.
Yeah. And your offense can't score in the like it is the lineup. The lineup is it makes no sense why they're so bad in extra innings with the man for man rule. But they're terrible at it, and you should have won last night's game. When you have that guy on second base and your bullpen pitchers give you 6 outs without giving up a run, it is inexcusable to lose when you are this good of a baseball team.
They got to try the bunt offense.
I'm in. If we go to extras today, if we see extra innings tonight, do the bunt offense.
Just bunt.
Bunt them to death. Like, just do it. Just see what happens.
If you lay down the bunt, the guy goes from second to third. You lay down another bunt. Hopefully, the guy goes from third to home, unless it's one of your slow runners. Hector Neris also on the table as well. It's not really his fault that things went the way that they did. I don't know if he actually had an out at home. Maybe it's just the fielding on those bunts because Neris biffs the ball. The guy gets to third because he throws it into the dirt. And then Yiner Diaz, did it bounce off his glove?
He was right there. That's where I think there's an argument for last night for a little bit of Dana Brown still. As the fall guy, like you at the deadline chose to not acquire a first baseman. And because you chose not to acquire a first baseman, you are going to do things like put Yiner Diaz at first base to optimize your lineup. But when you do that, a play that I feel pretty confident for most first basemen would have made, he just missed. And so it's not totally Diner's fault, but I don't think he really is a first baseman. He's not. Maybe next year. But, like, they're just kind of thrust him into this role. And
you're kind of forced to just because of the Bregman situation. But, yeah, it's not something you want to see more of him doing, that's for sure. A couple of comments on YouTube. At ESPN Houston, Max says, my worry is Tucker came back about 2 to 3 weeks too late. I don't know if he's going to be able to find his swing in time.
I mean, Mac, I hear what he's saying, but also, like, since we know it was not just a bruise, that's just unfortunate timing. Like, you might be right, but he came back too late to get back into the groove by the time the playoffs start. But if that's the case, then he shouldn't be hitting that high in the lineup. Like, you can have him in the lineup if you feel comfortable with him in right field and you want his bat still in the lineup, then hit him eighth. Like put him at the bottom until he gets back into his groove. Don't have him up there in critical situations because they're making it easier to pitch around guys when they know that Tucker is kind of just useless right now. So I don't disagree with that at all. It's just unfortunate because he, broke his own leg with a baseball.
It do be like that. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What are the chances the Astros can get one of those first round buys? And the mood is low, so we'll give you a deep steel blue pill. In fact, two of them. So you'll be, oh boy, probably weird to be around at work. But first, let me tell you about my friends at mybookie.ag. You use the promo code BET975. And guess what happens? You're not just getting your initial deposit matched up to $1,000. They're doubling your first deposit. Yeah. So put some money in, you enter that promo code, and you can play with all of it. Right away, there's no waiting process. Maybe you want to bet on the Astros to win tonight's game. 1.5 run favorites because the A's are not supposed to be good, and yet they won last night. Maybe you want to bet on the presidential election. Have things changed since last night's debate? I imagine the odds have shifted a little bit because I think someone clearly won, even though a lot of people aren't willing to admit it. And we're talking about the referees the whole time, if you will. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. You can also bet on Thursday night football. The Dolphins, 2.5-point favorites against the Bills tomorrow. Interesting that the Bills are the underdog, seeing as they seem to own the Miami Dolphins. But you can bet on all those things and more at MyBookie.ag. You enter that promo code BET975 for a doubling of your deposit. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
It's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
Tucker trying to tie it or win it here with one out. Call third strike. Tucker strikes out for the second straight time. That's a big out for Harris.
0-for-6. Can't strike out like that.
I guess I didn't hear the boo birds on the broadcast last night as much. I just didn't notice it until we heard it back there.
Are they booing Kyle Tucker? Are they booing the fact that they were about to lose to the A's? The fact that he took the third strike? I don't know. But it is annoying that he took a third strike with one out. And it was pretty clearly a strike.
Yeah, I mean, those two at-bats that he had towards the end of the game or in extras, he was so close. Like, there was one of them that it was a foul ball by maybe a foot. So he was right there to try to win the game for the Astros. But you could tell he's just a tick slow probably at this point. Like, he's just not back in his groove yet or really close to what the YouTube commenter was saying, Mac. Like, I just don't know if he has enough time to figure it out. And if you were going to pivot and say, hey, we're going to do a rehab assignment real quick, next week's the last week of minor league baseball. So, this is your Like, if you were going to pivot and be like, hey, we're going to, you know what, this isn't going great. We're going to try to resend him. We're going to resend him back down. You have 10 days, 12 days, something like that.
Can you send someone on a rehab assignment after they've already gotten back with the major league team?
I think you'd have to, like, almost designate them with another 10-day IL stint. So,
well,
or mutually agree. So, probably not.
Yeah, you can't do that, I guess. I mean, it would be nice to see the Sugarland Space Cowboys have a final push to second half champions. I don't know what the standings are, but I mean,
I just know they're first half champions.
They were first half champions
and in the playoffs.
But if they have Kyle Tucker for these critical games, I mean, we might be seeing a Sugarland championship.
They got Rafael Montero. They're good.
Sugarland's winning a lot. Someone won the Mega Millions from Sugarland last night.
Really?
Yeah, $800 million.
Ooh-hoo-hoo!
If that person wants to come on the show, we would gladly have you on for a nominal fee.
Yes. What's the fee?
I mean, if we split $100,000 between the three of us, is that enough?
Can we make it like $120,000?
$40,000
each?
Sure, fine, I guess, but I'm shooting low to make it seem like this person can make his radio dream come through.
What do you need those extra $20,000
for? Yeah, what's the
$20,000
for?
Yeah, I just, you know, I got $33,000 in student debt. Like, you know.
Like, well, Joe, I know you're not great with math, but
no, well, a little
$33,000 would have been covered.
There's other debt. Like, there's other things to pay off.
Greedy bastard. No, it's just Sean and I now. You're
We're
out.
Cutting you out.
We're cutting you out. If this Mega Millions winner wants to come on our show,
it'll be a day Joe's not here.
For a nominal fee, you can make your radio dreams come true. All right. Yeah, the Astros are making us sad. So here's a deep steel blue pill or two for you. Because your Houston Texans are still getting hyped.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big, deep, steel blue pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this deep, steel blue pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans 4!
We got a twofer for you.
Ooh.
You might have to go see a doctor a little bit later. Todd McShay was on with Ryan Russillo. They were talking about the top rosters in the NFL. And McShay, much to the chagrin of Russillo, who doesn't seem to entirely agree with him, thinks the Texans have one of the top five most talented rosters in the league. Here is Todd.
So, again, give me your tier one.
Chiefs.
Tier one best rosters in the NFL.
And again, not in order. I just want AFC, NFC, Chiefs, Jets, Texans, Niners, Lions. Top five rosters, in my opinion. The three that I put, like, right in that next tier, right on the
Packers? Packers aren't in there?
And the next tier, Packers, Eagles, Ravens. Take it or leave it.
You have the have Texans over the Eagles?
I love their roster, man.
Hell yeah, Todd.
All right, Todd. I like that. Top five roster?
Off the top of my head, I'm just going to agree because of the name brand recognition that they have.
Definitely is a huge part of it.
Yeah.
You know the names, so who they brought in free agency, like the what they've done in the draft.
Mixon looked incredible. Yes. So, yeah, I'm in.
I'm in on that. Top five? That.
Also, noted bro and host of the Pat McAfee Show, also a former NFL punter. Pat McAfee, who is a Colts fan, he had to give C.J. Stroud his flowers on the Pat McAfee Show earlier in the week. Here is... Oh, okay, I didn't send it. My bad. It's there, but it's not there. But Pat McAfee on C.J. Stroud, he, after talking about how Indy is the loud house, this guy... raved about C.J. Stroud and specifically that 3rd-and-11 throw that he had.
I mean, it's that throw. I watched it again today. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's one of the better throws of his career, I think, so far. I mean, like, it was just the precision, and it was a great catch. It's one of those funny things where, like, I feel like Nico is, like, almost getting, like, underappreciated in this moment, but that was such a great, you know, getting his feet down, making the catch. It was a great play. I mean, it's funny watching Pat when he has to praise the Texans. Because you can tell.
Oh, I love it, too.
You can tell, like, it hurts his soul.
And what's really funny, too, with him praising the Texans here is he's talking about how loud that Indy crowd was. And, of course, we all know they pump in crowd noise. It's artificial.
The stadium roof was open, though, so he believes it was the loudest it's been in a really long time, and Stroud shut him up at that play. We talk about the impressive throws that Stroud had. There was the 4th-and-2 throw from his knees early in the game. There was the 3rd-and-14 rolling to the right, throwing across the middle of the field back to his left to Nico Collins on 3rd-and-14 for a first down. But that 3rd-and-11 throw, I still am having a hard time figuring out how he fit that window. I have no idea how he got that ball in. I mean, if we were watching the game on TV, when you were watching it on TV, when Sean was watching it on TV, did you guys think that that ball was complete?
No. It was incomplete pass.
I very much assumed that was an incomplete pass, and then all of a sudden the Texas sideline started celebrating, and I was like, wait a second, what?
Yeah, because the play-by-play guy was like, that's out of bounds. Like, yeah. He was very sure about how incomplete it was. And then, yeah, you see the Texans sideline react, and listen, there's a lot of times where they make the catch motion when it's nowhere close to a catch, but that one, you're just like, wait, what? It looked like he caught it. That, like, if they're all that definitive about it, and they're celebrating like they just won the game.
I mean, I don't think it's that throw, being surprised is not, you know, an issue or shocking. How many quarterbacks can make that throw? CJ?
Mahomes? It's so impressive. Like, I don't know. I mean,
I'm gonna say no on Josh Allen. I mean, maybe. Like, not Lamar.
Yeah, I don't think Lamar could have made that.
Like, I think the list might be not Dak. Like, it might be Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. Like,
I don't know if Burrow's got the mustard.
Has a zip. Yeah.
Did you guys Stafford? Did you guys see the video? Stafford, yes. Yeah. Stafford, did you see the video where, like, Joe Burrow, like, couldn't pick up a water bottle?
Yeah, and he was just, like, moving his wrist the entire – yeah.
Like, he went to pick up a water bottle. It looked like the water bottle weighed, like, 80 pounds because he had to, like, grab it, like claw it.
And then he had to, like yes. readjust his hand.
Yeah, so maybe there's currently, like, 4 quarterbacks that can make that throw. I mean,
it's Anthony Richardson kills someone in the stands making that throw.
Right.
Like, he's knocking out a coach's eyeball if he tries to make that throw.
Small child, little Peter, the Colts fan. Rest in peace.
Has a little football mark right between his eyes.
His parents should have left him in the car with the windows rolled down because he wouldn't have gotten hit by the ball in the stands. It would have been fine.
The roof was open.
It was 72 degrees in Indianapolis.
Right, the roof was open.
The roof was open, so we can't say it wouldn't have hit him.
Right.
I do have a sunroof on my car. I know that does not apply to the rules.
And I mean, I was saying that because if you didn't hear the first segment, I feel like I should be able to leave the Astros in the car against the A's.
Yeah, thank you for explaining that.
Yeah,
Yeah. With the keys in the ignition.
Yes.
Just
thank you for explaining. This is not because, like, I did not leave my son in the car. Like anyone joining, like, you have to re-explain it every time. Like,
oh, I was 25 minutes late to the Paul Gallant and the Gallant George. What's this?
It happens.
What's this that he's talking about right now?
Speaking of kids, real quick.
What happened?
Practice?
I felt overwhelmed at a 3-year-old soccer practice.
Damn, dude, you can't even handle 3-year-old
No, you know
players?
What? I had 7 kids on the team. 6 of them were great. There was one kid that kept running off and leaving the field. You know what the problem was? It was my kid. The only kid who would not listen to me was my kid.
Oh, no.
Like, they're all doing, like, dribbling drills, passing the ball back and forth. We're playing red light, green light. We're having a great time. And my kid, instead of saying, when I say red light, doesn't stop. He took off, like, to the left and just kept, or the right, and just kept going. I was embarrassed. It was tough. It was a tough day for Coach Joe. Didn't feel great.
It feels like it's a good day for Coach Joe. It's a bad day for Father of the Year, Joe George.
Yeah, I told my wife, I'm like, you got to be at practice next week. I'm like, you got to wrangle this kid. I got to worry about the other kids.
Have you considered a child leash?
It's hard to play soccer with a child leash.
Yeah, but it's practice. Yeah. Practice this way. You'll keep them. Just give them a lot of leash, I guess.
yeah. Give them a lot of room to run.
Yeah. You know, I'm looking forward to 5-year-old Joe George Jr. He's got like a greaser jacket on. He's ripping a butt when you get home. He's like, say, pops.
Oh.
Why aren't you playing me more in the soccer game?
Yeah, I like uncoachable Joseph.
Yeah, he's uncoachable right now.
I don't play by the rules, so I'm junior.
Yeah. He's like what we thought Stephon Diggs was going to be right now. He's uncoachable.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah. I'll make sure he wins the number one.
He just wants to play on a different team.
Yeah, the problem was is that there was like three fields next to each other. He kept running to the other field and like trying to play with the other kids. I'm like, no, dude, like you're over here.
Oh, wait, they have you all practicing at the same time?
Terrible idea.
That's overwhelming.
Terrible. Yeah. You should get those giant boards that like college football teams have.
Well, and then like one of the other coaches I saw, like he bought pennies. He brought a whistle.
Okay. These are 3-year olds.
And I'm like, dude, I have the cone. I have the cones and the soccer balls they supplied me. I'm like, but I might get a whistle for next week.
Just for your own kid.
From my son. The other kid, I'm gonna tell them, like, hey, when I whistle, y'all are fine. It's him. He's the problem.
That's hilarious. Oh boy. It is Gallant and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. Sean Mabes behind the glass. Largo asks on Twitch, is Paul wearing tassels today or is it cold? I am wearing a tight shirt, but I think my tiny little nipples are showing. It's a Wednesday. What do you want from me?
It is cold. It is cold.
And the deep steel blue pills got me going.
Yeah.
Okay? So cut me some slack. Up next, we cut nobody slack if they're soft in the world of sports. Soft boys, including Shedeur Sanders continuing to dig his own grave further and further. Stick around.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of that one time that Ime Udoka, head coach of the Houston Rockets, saw LeBron James bitching and moaning during a game and said that you should stop his bitching, LeBron responded, hey man, don't speak to me like that. And Ime Udoka called him a soft-ass boy. Every single Wednesday at 12:30, we talk about the softest people in the world of sports. This is just a soft way of handling adversity. We already saw Shedeur Sanders leave with about 2 minutes to play after Nebraska smoked Colorado on Saturday. But he is making things worse and worse for himself. I did not see this press conference that he did, I believe, on Monday. Here is Shedeur Sanders talking about what really went down against Nebraska.
I mean, how many times did Riley get touched?
Yeah, what?
How many times did Riley get touched? There was able, like, of course, whenever you're able to run the ball consistently and whenever you're able to, then that opens up the pass, you know? But it's just, like, you got to understand, like, what your team good at. So it's like, why would we keep running the ball if, okay, we out there and we get in a situation where it's a must get and we don't get it?
Right. Are those, so, like, kind of like fourth and one conversions that haven't gone your guys' way in the last couple? Is that kind of playing to everybody's mind? Is that kind of something on your mind thinking about, you know, advancing the ball and
whatnot? Nah, I'd rather go down swinging, honestly, because I know I could throw the best punch.
Well, he's swinging at his offensive lineman, I'm sure.
And OC.
That'll go over well. You're right. Off my draft board. I don't want a guy who's throwing his guys under the bus. I know that some guys have done it. Peyton Manning's done it publicly a couple of times, throwing his offensive line under the bus. And I know he's not alone. There's been some other great quarterbacks that have done it. But you're doing it at this level where everything is going wrong. How are you going to turn this thing around? And on top of that, right after he was done throwing his offensive line under the bus, he went on Twitter and he essentially tweeted, like, hey, new week, let's work.
Yeah, I don't like this. I'm with you. I'm so glad we don't have to worry about the Texans needing a quarterback, because, like, the thing is, he's going to end up in a bad situation. I know Deion keeps trying to say that Shedeur and Travis Hunter are going to pull an Eli Manning and they're only going to go to a certain amount of teams. Well, like good luck with that. Like good luck with that. Like you think that's really going to work? First of all, you think you're good enough, Shedeur? Travis Hunter, maybe.
That's what I was going to say. Oh, Travis Hunter, yes. Travis Hunter is going to be a top five pick. Whichever position he wants to play, they can let him play. Shedeur Sanders, he might not be in a terrible situation. He might not be drafted in a terrible situation because of stuff like this. Like, if this turns off Paul, like, I can't imagine We haven't even started the pre-draft process with this guy. Like, everyone gets picked apart, and that's going to be an absolute circus when that time comes around. Sorry to say the C word. I'm going to be banned from Colorado media now because the guy who called it a circus got banned. I don't think he's a lock to be a top 10 pick. Like, I don't know if
he seems to be carrying himself though as if he is a top 10 pick lock. And I'm with you.
I like he is
probably a first round pick.
Yeah, probably a first rounder.
But he also seems to have a crappy attitude. And I mean, what good team's going to want to take him in? He's going to probably go to another situation that's like this. Best of luck, thoughts and prayers. I think the team he's most likely to go to is the New York Giants. The Giants were wretched on Sunday, and the vibes are horrible in the locker room. Now, I thought it was interesting to see former Texans defensive lineman Jonathan Greenard talking about Daniel Jones getting booed, saying, quote, "We kind of started to feel a little bit bad for him," end quote. I'm not going to lie, it's kind of soft for a defender to feel bad for the pass rusher he's going after. But hey, we like Jonathan Greenard. He's showing a little empathy to Daniel Jones, who is a gosh darn disaster.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not. I don't think Greenard's soft, obviously, for that. But it makes me feel worse for Daniel Jones. Yeah. Like when players are saying that, like, I'm just like, oh,
that's so bad.
It's worse than the Anthony Richardson one. Like with Richardson,
at least they're being mean.
Yeah, they're like, just all you do is run. Like, but then, like, we saw, like, what he can do down the field in this last game. Greenard is just like, this guy's so bad.
Yeah. I'd rather you be mean to me than pity me.
Yes.
Like, I'd rather you take me seriously as an opponent and not just be like, oh, man.
That's like, I remember, like,
sucks
like,
for it. He didn't ask to be put in this position. Like, yeah. No, yes, I did.
And my dad used to tell me, like, when he was coaching me, it was like, if a coach stops yelling at you, it means they've given up on you. Like, it's like, because if they're yelling at you, like, it means they still care in a way. Like, that's almost what this is. Like, this isn't even just trash talk. It's just like, sorry, dude. Like, maybe you're the quarterback for the Roughnecks next year.
Like, I don't even think Zach Wilson got, I feel bad for him.
No.
I don't think he did either. And to make matters worse, with the Giants, have you heard what the Giants said in the moments after the loss? This is 100% soft behavior. First, we have Kayvon Thibodeau, who is certainly talkative. I don't know that he's been particularly good as a player, but I would imagine he's been rather underwhelming. He was asked a question. I don't even think the question finished, and he didn't want to answer it.
I know that a lot's on you guys in the pass rush up front. Like, that's what this team's supposed to be built on. How much?
Anybody else got questions?
Kayvon, what happened? Is that a big question for you?
Go ahead.
What happened on that penalty?
Man, I tried to convert. I think I kind of hooked his face mask.
I'm trying to figure out what was so offensive about that question. He's saying, hey, you guys are priding yourselves on being a unit capable of getting sacks. You certainly have some names. It's not happening. And the guy didn't even finish asking the question. I'm wondering if there's some sort of beef that Thibodeau has with this guy.
Yeah, that doesn't seem like a one-time incident, right?
No,
like, there seems
not
to be some kind of,
because it's week one. Like,
yeah,
it's very easy to be like, yeah, we didn't get any sex today.
Yeah, that's a beat reporter who, like, whether Kayvon Thibodeau is reading social media, he's heard him on radio stations or TV. Like, there's something to that one. It's definitely soft. Like, just say like no comment. But at the same time, I also kind of love it. Not gonna lie, like, just kind of.
What do you love about
it? It's kind of just been like, this guy, like, first of all, like, ask the question. Because he's just kind of rambling. So I think maybe that's also what's part of this.
I don't know. I think he's being a jackass.
I mean, he definitely is being a jackass.
No, I think him rambling gave Thibodeau the time to just, like,
to
cut him
that
off. If he was more kind of got to the question. I mean, same thing with the Colorado guy. Colorado guy asking Shadur a question took 35 seconds. I think if he's a little bit more concise, you can kind of force him to ask,
sure,
to answer it.
Sure.
Or not to answer, to acknowledge the question.
Sure. But yeah, I don't know.
No, it's still terrible on Thibodeau, but the reporter gave him the door.
Fair enough. He gave him the rope.
My favorite is, I wish the other reporters would have done is then
just ask that question again.
Yeah.
I always wonder when people don't ask questions. I'm like, if again, if I was there, I'd just be like, I'll ask that question.
Yeah.
Kayvon Thibodeau, another New York Giant. Excuse me, Dexter Lawrence, another New York Giant defensive lineman. He was asked about the boos the Giants got. Here he is.
Could I hear the fans?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they
however many fans there are.
Yeah, booing at home. Yeah. Booing
at could I hear them?
Yeah.
Can you get another question, please?
What do you make of that? What do you make of the boos?
I don't respect it, honestly. I get it. They want to see their team win. You know, it's just a rough patch. It just is what it is.
Next, after a tough first half, you guys came in at halftime.
We might be 2 for 2 with questions that didn't get asked so well because Lawrence was clearly annoyed by that reporter asking, did you hear the boos?
I think it's one of my least favorite questions you ask players, and people that players get asked, because they never answer it well. Not because it's not like a fair question, but you just never get
it's
a good
setup. Right.
It's a setup. I will say, can we nominate the fans with this too? Because I know the Giants and Daniel Jones is your quarterback, but there was booing all across the NFL in Week 1. Like, it is Week 1. Like,
no, booing's always in bounds.
You got to boo in Week 1.
Booing is always in bounds.
I was going to say it's Week 1, as in it's crazy how down bad the Giants are after one game. Like, that, it's crazy that they're getting, did you hear the fans boo at home? And, like, I don't want to, like, they're so obviously
it's
in a bad mood.
It's Week 7-esque.
Yeah, this is what happens, when it's Week 8, Week 9, and you're like,
November.
Oh, my God, we just get our ass kicked. We're 2-6, and we get our ass kicked every time. Like, no, this is one game against the Minnesota Vikings, and they're already having this stuff. I saw that there's the Malik Nabers gave an answer where he was just like, hey, listen, man, I'm just doing the best I can. I'm like, dude, it was his debut. It was just Week 1, and he's already, like, in the I'm a wide receiver who hates my quarterback mode. It's crazy.
Does Brian Dable make it to October? They play the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football on September 26th. Between that, so they play the Giants play Washington, Cleveland, Dallas. I mean, Bill O'Brien was fired after 4 games.
I think they all know the quarterback's the problem.
I know.
I mean, what was it? Joe Schoen, the general manager, was caught talking to...
Oh, to Ryan Poles.
About how he doesn't need to look for a quarterback, but we do. So I think Daniel Jones getting benched is the next step, and I think the question is when does that happen?
Yeah, I think we see Drew Lock before we push the fire Dable button.
I agree.
I mean, they asked Dable Week 1, like the Monday press conference.
That's crazy.
The media asked them. Like,
is it because it's New York and they're just like they just fast forward
season? I think it's just because I think we all just know it. If it's like everyone in the world knows, but in the NFL that the watches him, you know, talks about he can't play quarterback.
The Jets started Zach Wilson for 3 years. That's the thing. This town has seen with the other team terrible quarterback play before. Jano Jones isn't the first bad quarterback to ever suit up in that city.
But there is something about the Jets Giants thing that I think is a little bit different, right? Like, I think
the Giants have higher standards.
Yeah, the Jets are kind of the clown car of the two teams.
The funny thing is, though, the Giants have been just as bad. They just have the 2 Eli Manning miraculous Super Bowl runs.
Yeah.
They've been just as bad this entire stretch.
Basically, since 2011, they've been terrible.
You have those 2 Super Bowls, it helps, but, I mean, it's been over a decade, and they have been just as bad, I would say, as the Jets since that last Super Bowl victory. Let's stay in New York, because this is the premier football team in New York, though I guess the Buffalo Bills are. But you know who's not soft as we continue Soft Boys every Wednesday at 12:30? Syracuse head coach Fran Brown.
Who
was annoyed that Georgia Tech head coach Brent Kay suggested the Cuse was not physical. Hit it, Fran!
You. And who won the most fourth down this day? We did, yeah, because he said he wanted to fight from 2 out of 4. So that's all I was thinking about from 2 out of 4. That's why I was very... And you know me. So it's a big difference. When you know who I am and you come at me about toughness, like, don't do that. I took this. This game was very personable. And then you know that I coach with Kirby Smart and Muschamp. So why would I be? Why would we not be a tough physical football team? That's just what they do. And that's what we're about. And that's where I was at. And I did take that very personal. And I want to make sure everyone understands that when you play us, just be quiet. So then that way we're just going to go worry about us throughout the week. Don't give no ammo to me. You give ammo to me, I'm coming at you full tilt.
That's right.
Dude, I like this guy.
That's right.
I like this guy, Paul.
And they have the easiest ACC schedule ever.
When can Notre Dame fire Marcus Freeman and hire this guy?
No. He doesn't want to.
Oh, I cannot wait for that to happen. I can't wait for coaching search, Joe George, looking for everyone's coaching.
We'll come to Notre Dame.
But I like this guy.
Like, I like
that. That's not something you hear from coaches.
I coached with Will Muschamp and Kirby Smart. Don't call me soft. I love that.
Yeah. Syracuse fans should be very happy.
I mean, you saw Colin McCord on the sideline. I think they said they're sorry or they're soft or something during the game. Syracuse football has a swagger back.
Hell yeah, dude. Watch out.
Against an easy ACC
schedule. Watch out. Easy. Who won in 1959 in the national championship?
You said it was an easy SEC or ACC.
Yeah, I know, but only I get to say that. Okay. You aren't in the ACC like me.
Oh, yeah.
Notre Dame tries to be in the ACC.
We're kind of in the ACC.
But they're embarrassed to admit it, even though, you know, they're kind of bringing us down. And Texas, you know, if you're in the ACC, it would be a little bit easier to get to the college football playoff. But you both wish you were in our conference. It's fine.
Can you imagine, like, Sean, can you imagine how miserable we will be if, like, Syracuse makes a run at the ACC championship game?
I won't be that miserable.
I think we will. I think Paul's going to make us miserable.
No.
If Syracuse is good at football.
It depends.
I think if Syracuse plays Texas in the playoff, that's when I'll get sick of it.
At this point, I just need it to be, like, I need Syracuse and Boston College to be good for when they play November 9th.
Oh, they do play.
Like, I want to see,
not
like,
that easy of a schedule. Yeah. Got Bill
Boston
O'Brien
College
coming to
versus
town.
Syracuse this year. That'll be on the our pick six.
Maybe that's when we ask.
We bring Bill O'Brien.
Yeah, we ask Bill O'Brien to come on.
All right. Soft Boys continues. I think Joe's going to be able to provide a little more context here.
Yes.
There is a Chicago radio host named Dan Bernstein, and he got very upset when Barstool Eddie, who was filling in on a show that was before Bernstein's show on 670 The Score, called him by his last name.
See that, especially after you had the ghost pepper.
Horoscope guy Bernstein?
No. Oh, no? God, no.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
You
know? So, no.
Yeah, you it always me, has you, been. You can call me Dan or you can call me Bernsey, but you don't know me like that.
Got it.
Eddie got you. Eddie's there with you. Here's what I saw over in the corner here at Rally House.
You could call me Dan or Bernsey.
I feel like the Bernsey would be more offensive. Like, that's a nickname.
Bernsey is something that you would call somebody you've known for a while. You can't
who has
call
an STD? Oh.
You can't call the person by his last name his show is called Bernstein and whatever?
Yeah, Bernstein and Holmes. Like,
and oh, was, my God.
Like his,
what are
like,
we doing?
Oh, like, my God.
I don't.
Hey, don't call me Gallant, all right?
Yeah, like.
I mean, honestly, if someone called me Gallant, I would laugh at that. Like, you know, if someone called Jake Ass Man, I don't think he would like that.
Yeah, that's pretty much why I ended up, you know, because Granato went after him, because Granato did that.
Oh, he did?
Remember Jake got all upset?
I didn't know.
And they got a little radio war.
Yeah, and then he said Granato needs a pay cut. And then,
I think it all started because Jake suggested, I believe jokingly, that ESPN could save some money by moving on from Granato, which is an idiotic thing to say on the
dumbest
station,
thing you could say.
Especially because I don't think John's paying any attention to you unless you actually say something to set him off. And, I mean, look, it's just a tough world that you live in when your last name is Ass Man.
Yeah. I just can't imagine, like, getting upset over this. Like, someone calls you by your last name. So, for context, this is a guy who used to be Barstool-ish.
Okay.
He was suspended for talking about women's breasts inappropriately on social
Jonas?
Media.
Bernstein?
Yeah, Bernstein was. He was suspended for that. He's been suspended for other things. But when, like, in the, like, before the pandemic, he, like, his brain got broken. It's, like, the only way I can put it.
Ah.
And he flipped. So now he hates everything Barstool, like, stands for.
So that's why.
So he probably would have said something similar to that. Like, if Eddie called him Dan, he'd probably be like, you call me sir. But yeah, soft. And now Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports.
Oh, yeah. He basically just awoke.
Like, this is
ruined his career.
He woke up every single troll.
At the very least, he ruined, like, the rest, the, like, next 2 weeks of a show. Like, they can't, there's no way they could
They closed the phone lines.
Of course they did.
They closed the YouTube comments as well.
Of course they did.
They have to close, like, the entire, like, social media for the station. But.
Tough one. Tough one for Burnsy. Look,
if you want to be in this business.
Burnsy, calm down.
Burnsy.
Yeah, don't go after Barstool people. Like.
Especially, like, something so not. It, like, if you want to go after them, get your money's worth.
Yeah, like go after for something, like, real.
Where at least one person will be on your side.
Oh, soft boy nomination. Dave Portnoy, while we're at it. They left at halftime of the Michigan-Texas game.
Yeah, I get that.
Like,
yeah.
But, like, you got your private jet. But, like,
yeah, the
there.
Game was over, though.
I know.
Beat the traffic.
Like I was saying, like, I don't know, halfway through the third quarter, I was like, can we just run and clock this? Like, this, there's no need to keep watching. I'd rather watch the Arkansas-Oklahoma State game, like, than the backups come in. Like, I'm not completely against Portnoy, just dipping.
I'm not calling Portnoy soft, Joe, for entirely... Entirely what we were just talking about.
Local radio host, Houston radio host Joe George calls Dave Portnoy soft.
A couple other ones before we wrap up soft boys. Sauce Gardner missed part of a field goal drive on Monday in the 49ers-Jets game because the wind was knocked out of him. He missed six passes. Take you that long to get back up from
six play. I was gonna be on his side if it was like three. Six is a lot.
And Edwin Uceda, a Tampa Bay's reliever, last night went full Framber Valdez in 2023. He threw at Nick Castellanos in the midst of a disaster inning. It led to a benches clearing brawl between the Phillies and the Rays.
We need more fights in baseball.
I agree.
And we need real fights.
Especially September baseball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe we can, like, add, like, the win column. like you get, like, a half a win if you... Was it Rougned Odor when he got knocked out by Jose Bautista?
Other way around.
Other way around. You're right. Yep, my bad. When Jose Bautista got knocked out by Rougned Odor, the Rangers should have got a win for that fight.
If you win the fight, you get the win?
Yeah. But it has to be like real punches thrown.
They go to the judges' scorecards.
Yeah. That's how we bring baseball back to this country.
I think the only way the White Sox are going to get people to go to the ballpark is if the players start fighting each other. Like, I mean, the White Sox are fighting White Sox.
Yeah, White Sox on White Sox crime. Yeah. I'm guessing no one hates the White Sox more this season than White Sox and their fans.
Probably not. This is going to be considered soft by some before we wrap up soft boys. Our intern made us homemade chocolate. And
yes.
I don't like chocolate. So I'm going to try it, and let's see how this goes. It's very black chocolate.
She made it at home?
She made it homemade. It's homemade, yeah.
I mean, I love chocolate, so.
I already had mine, or else I'd be doing it with.
Okay. More, you know, dark chocolate, right?
That was actually pretty good.
That was pretty good.
I'm surprised because I don't like chocolate. Maybe I like chocolate now.
Is it all chocolate?
Yeah.
Like, do you like dark? Like, do you like dark chocolate, or is it just? Like,
I honestly don't know. I just generally don't like the bitterness of chocolate.
This is like closer to dark chocolate. Like, good. I would say.
Yeah, that,
like,
it was dark chocolate.
Yeah.
She has risen to the top of the intern power rankings. Mm. There you go. All right. It's Gallon and George out of Soft Boys every single Wednesday, 12:30. The softest people in the world of sports. In honor of Ime Udoka calling LeBron James a soft-ass boy that one time. Up next, the Houston Texans are in prime time for the first time in quite some time on a Sunday. How are they going to handle it? We'll discuss. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.